Hello and welcome to another episode of the Australian Baby Boomer podcast. In this episode, I was privileged to interview Lizzie, who leads a most interesting life linked to the various forms of volunteer work that she does. Like many people, once they retire from the paid workforce, Lizzie has taken up volunteer work to give back to the community. In her case, the volunteer work utilises her people skills, her positive attitude, her training in complementary therapies, and skills drawn from both her personal and professional life. There are some links to some of the organisations mentioned in this episode for those who would like to explore further. Well, welcome, Lizzie, and thanks very much for agreeing to be part of this Baby Boomer podcast. I was interested to talk to you earlier about all the different kinds of activities that you're involved in these days, and so I think it would be most interesting for our listeners to hear all about that. So I wonder if you could start by just telling me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I won't go too far back, so many years.
Yes.
So it really started when I travelled to India in 94 and 96 and did two treks through Nepal, and I saw people living in a lot of poverty and sickness, and that really affected me. And when I came home, I actually resigned from a job in a corporate organisation and went to work in aged care. I just felt so I needed to be doing something more positive. So, yeah, and that's when I completed Reiki training, and I volunteered with various organisations over the years. Way back in 2000, I was volunteering at the Cancer Foundation, the Centre for Palliative Care in Shenton Park, which is closed now, but it's actually now called Milroy Lodge, and it's accommodation for regional patients who are coming into Perth for treatment. Wow. And they do Reiki there as well. And then in 2007 I went to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks over the Christmas and New Year to work with children in a Catholic orphanage run by nuns, and that was really interesting, taking a small group of very little children to midnight mass, which is all spoken in Sinhalese. So when I returned home from there, I started tutoring with Read Right Now Adult Literacy. And I've been doing that, as I say, for the past 14, 15 years, and for the past 3 years, I've also been a coordinator for Read Right Now in the Fremantle area.
Mm. So Read Right Now, I did another small episode which gave a little bit of an overview of that, but I'm just wondering if you can just recap on what Read Right Now is.
Okay, so Read Right Now is for those people, we deal with adults, but it's for those adults who have somehow slipped through the cracks in their education and they have poor literacy skills. And so we have tutors who do tutoring one-on-one with that person, just to improve their skills in whatever way they want. Some of them are very poor in their reading and writing, others just want help in their maybe going back to TAFE and doing assignments. So there's a range of needs that Read Right Now meets through the tutors.
And a few that have English as not their first language as well.
For the Read Right Now program, I understand they need to have been in Australia for 10 years. But if they're speaking their native language at home, then they're not practicing their English. Mm. And if they're looking for work or something, then this is where they fall down and they need to practice their English reading and writing a lot more.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much for that. And I'm just wondering if you can tell us a little bit about the volunteer program you've been involved in at Solaris and maybe what Solaris is to start with.
Well, Solaris is an organisation that provides qualified practitioners who volunteer their time to help people who are living or dealing with cancer diagnoses. And their carers as well. Mm. And Solaris was founded in 2001 by Perth haematologist Dr. David Joski. And so there are now 5 centres in WA. There's 3 metropolitan and 2 in regional areas. So the services are underpinned by a strong medical base and the Solaris commitment to research and education. And one of the many therapies provided there is Reiki.
Mm, wow. And that's where your Reiki practitioner come in.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So can you tell us a typical day of what you would do when you go in there?
Okay. So I volunteer for 2 hours, 2 mornings a week. Mm. And I also do the Reiki clinic, which is 2 hours every Tuesday.
Right.
So that's where people just come and go as they please. On the other days, people have to make an appointment to have a Reiki session.
Mm.
So I would just go in and first off, I usually have a say hello, good morning to the girls in the op shop and check out the new arrivals on their clothing rack because they have a great op shop up there. Then I'll sign in at reception. Then I get the names of the clients that I'm going to be seeing that morning, the 2 of them, because they have 1 hour each. The Reiki is done in an individual room, so that's usually set up ready for me. So I'll just get there and have maybe 10 minutes quiet time before the client arrives. And if they're regular clients, then they know what to expect. But if they're new clients and they haven't had Reiki before, I'll explain a little bit to them about, you know, the process and what they may or may not feel during the Reiki session.
Right. And so what would you say could you describe a little bit about what Reiki is?
So it's a complementary therapy and a natural form of therapy. Using healing energy techniques. That sort of involves encouraging the healthy flow of energy through the body to lower stress and promote healing. It gives the body a break from everyday stresses, particularly when people are going through cancer or they're carers of someone who's going through cancer. It's a very stressful time. So it just helps your body to return to a state of relaxation. And it's actually currently being provided by many hospitals, nursing homes and palliative care hospices throughout Australia.
Mm.
So it's not the kind of woo-woo thing that most people think. It's actually a really great therapy as well. However, it should be used in conjunction with all other medical or therapy. It's not an alternative.
No.
It's a complementary.
Complementary,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's hands-on, isn't it?
It's hands-on. Yeah, it's just a very light touch. We usually start doing the head first, spend a lot of time doing around the head and the shoulders, and then we'll move slowly down the body, non-intrusive, just very slowly putting the hand on different parts, you know, like the liver and spleen, the stomach, the legs, whatever. We don't focus on any specific area. Unless a client asks us to, then we will try to do that. But Reiki finds its own way to where it's needed in the body, yeah.
So sort of, I guess it helps people to be mindful of bodies too, does it? Do you think?
They just feel it's to be very relaxed after they've had Reiki. And the people who are having it for the first time are just amazed. You kind of go into a very deep meditative state. It's like you're aware of what's happening around about you, but you're in a very deep relaxed state while it's happening. The client could also feel heat because my hands, they get very hot in certain areas where it's needed, or they could maybe feel a bit of tingling. Some have said they come back to full consciousness, it's not that they're unconscious, and they have seen colours and, you know, they've just had a beautiful experience.
Mm.
So yeah, it's really, and everyone has a different experience and each session is different. So even if someone's having 2 or 3 sessions, each session will be different depending on what their body needs at that time.
The time, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'm just wondering how you became interested in these complementary therapies.
I guess when I came to Australia in 1984, I just suddenly became aware of a different universe. There was so much going on in the alternative scene in Fremantle, and I was introduced to so many books on different modalities, and I just clicked with the whole thing. I just loved it. However, I need to experience things, not just read about them.
Mm.
And so I went to so many different practitioners and had so many different therapies, you know, just to get the feeling of what it was all like. Mm. And I've completed other courses in energy work. I've done pranic healing and healing touch. But I just find that Reiki is just so simple, yet very effective. And it's more well known and more recognized as well than I think the other modalities.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting that the medical practitioners are on board with these complementary therapies and have obviously a supportive of this happening.
Oh, absolutely. And I think because, as I say, the Solaris was initially set up in Charles Gardner Hospital by David Joske, who's now Professor Joske.
Yes.
So having that medical kind of background with someone who set it up, and he just saw the benefits of having, you know, complementary therapies provided to the clients when they were in a stressful state.
Mm.
I know one client, I can tell you that one client told me that when she received her initial diagnosis of breast cancer, she was just an absolute total mess. And she was very fearful, and obviously, you know, you get that diagnosis. And a friend of hers recommended that she visit Solaris and try Reiki. Now, this person had never heard of either of those, you know, either Solaris or Reiki, but she went along. And after the first session, she told me that she was completely changed. She was amazed at how she felt after just one session. She just felt more calm and hopeful. And she's actually recovered, or recovering. I don't know if you ever recover 100% from cancer, but she's recovered now. And she remains a regular client at the Reiki clinic. And
yeah. Wonderful. So ongoing self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some of the practitioners of Reiki are ex-clients who've gone through the cancer, who've come out, you know, well at the other end, and they've experienced Reiki. So they have gone and learned Reiki themselves, and they've come back as practitioners. So it's like a full circle, and it's just lovely to see them. Because you can do Reiki on yourself as well, so they do self-healing with it, but they come to the clinic and practice Reiki on other people who need it.
That's excellent. So you've got a source of volunteers there.
Yes, it kind of goes full circle, which is really nice.
When you became a volunteer at Solaris, how did you find out about that program?
Well, my osteopath, who volunteers at Solaris teaching Qigong, and I was just speaking to her about, you know, I want to do Reiki and I'm not quite sure. And she pointed me in the direction of Solaris because, she, as I say, she was volunteering there. So I just went along to see the centre manager. They asked, obviously, to see my Reiki certificates to prove I had done it. And I was just asked to go to one of the Reiki clinics on a Tuesday, meet the other practitioners. I think I had to do a little, you know, sort of test session so they could see that I could do it. Then after that was it. I was just welcomed into the Reiki community, and it is a, you know, really nice community. Everybody is so friendly and open, and it's just a lovely community. Yeah.
Well, I think you've talked about how many hours that you do for the organisations. So maybe 2 or 3 hours a week, or you actually do a couple of two hour sessions.
Yeah, I do 2 hours on a Tuesday morning and 2 hours on a Thursday, which is in a separate room, just like one on one. But the clinic is actually in the hall, so we maybe have 6 or 8 beds set up. And we have different practitioners, so the clients will just come in, and when there's an empty bed, they'll jump on the bed and they'll get whichever practitioner is available. So that's the way the clinic works.
It's quite efficient, really, because
it
people don't have to wait too long.
It's a bit like the doctor's surgery, where they just sit waiting and then jump on a bed when it's available.
Excellent.
And that's every Tuesday. But I guess with the therapists volunteering their time, it depends on the availability of rooms. Because we work out of Wansley House in Cottesloe on Railway Parade, which is a beautiful big old house. And so everybody's sort of working from there. And there's probably about 4 rooms that can be used. So, you know, if I've got it every Tuesday and Thursday, that means, you know, nobody else can have it. So they have to work around the availability of the rooms and also the availability of the practitioners when they can come in.
Yes. So does it more or less run full time, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's always practitioners there that can.
And they've got a really full program. Like they do yoga and qigong in the big hall. They have a choir that meets. They have a support group for people who are, you know, maybe lost someone and they're grieving. They have education on nutrition and self-care and all sorts of things. They have a really, really full program. I mean, if anyone is interested, please go to the Solaris website and have a look at the wonderful things that are being offered all the time.
What I'll do is I'll provide a link on the summary that accompanies this program, and that way they people, if they're interested, they can just click on the link and go.
Absolutely.
All right. So as far as the ongoing training, I know you said that you had your qualification. Do you get any more ongoing training through Solaris?
The Reiki people, actually, they kind of work through Reiki Australia, Reiki Association of WA, RAWA, we say. So RAWA runs the clinic, and they do inductions, update inductions every year.
Right.
And new people coming in have to do their induction before they can go to the clinic. But they, you know, the inductions are done every year, and there's information done every year. And Solaris themselves, they provide training depending on what role you're taking on. Like this, the girls in the op shop, they could work as many hours as they want, I think. They're always looking for volunteers in the op shop. It's a really nice little op shop as well, with good quality goods. I know I spend a lot of money in there. And they also have them on admin as well. They have a manager there who's full-time, but the other girls who are sitting on reception administration and making bookings and what have you, they're all volunteers. So it really runs on volunteers with very few paid staff.
And so the op shop raises money to, I guess, just to go back into the accommodation and things like that.
Absolutely, because it's all self-funded. They don't get any, they're not supported by the government. It's all self-funded. So they're always doing fundraising events. And the op shop is one of the things that, you know, they do to try and raise funds. There is a price structure for clients wanting to use Solaris, and there are different levels of, you know, of what it costs and what you're entitled to under the different levels. But I think that public people can go to the clinic because it's run by RAWA. They can go to the clinic anytime, and it's free every Tuesday. But for the other sessions run by Solaris, there is a price structure. But so it's very reasonable.
I guess it's a not-for-profit.
That's
so
right,
it just
absolutely.
Really keeps the running costs going. One of the things that I had asked about, I don't know whether we've got the same set of questions, but was whether you, how you manage your own, what are the benefits and drawbacks of the kind of volunteer work, and how you manage your own self-care and that sort of thing.
Well, I don't find there's any drawbacks to me. It's all, they're all benefits. As I say, it's lovely to go in and into Solaris and meet the other volunteers and clients and be part of the Reiki community. And there's just such a positive vibe about the place. You know, everybody, even the clients who are maybe going through treatment, they're just very positive. And with all the different courses and, you know, in that promote being positive and what have you, it's a really positive vibe there. So I love going in there. There are, to me, there are no drawbacks. And I'm not using my own energy, you know, so it doesn't take, in fact, Reiki is kind of channeling energy. So I'm, you know, grabbing a bit of energy as it's coming through me to, before it goes into the client, as it were. So it doesn't drain me at all. I just love going there. I just feel really quite blessed and humble that I'm able to go in and help people like that. And really, the clients are all really accepting and grateful for the therapists who go in there and give their time and their skills to help out as a volunteer. They really, really appreciate it.
I think that's the thing with volunteer work. Often you get back probably more than you give out often, don't you?
Absolutely.
In that sense of...
And on my... on the Tuesdays and Thursdays that I do, the clients have to book in appointments. And I have one lady who comes every week, you know, and others come and go every 2 weeks or whatever. So you kind of build up a bit of a rapport with these people as well, which is really nice.
Yes, that would be lovely.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned a little bit about how it helps people and what they've said to you about it as they're going through the treatment. Mm. And what sort of person do you think would make a good volunteer for this kind of work?
Well, I mean, it would obviously have to be a people person, but I mean, anyone who's doing these therapies, that's the type of
usually
person
we
need. They usually are.
Yes.
They're very compassionate and you know, have empathy towards people. So even, you know, those in the op shop and admin, is I say, they are some of the volunteers who have actually come through cancer, or they've had relatives coming through cancer, and they've had experience in a positive way from Solaris, and they just want to come and give back.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're always happy, and there's joking, and there's a kitchen there, and you can go and sit and have a cup of tea and, you know, have a chat, and there's just lots of things there that's available to people.
Yeah.
It's a really wonderful place.
Yeah. And you volunteer at Reed right now, you volunteer at Solaris, but you've also involved with Borderless, aren't you? So, which is another organisation.
It is, yes. So I occasionally help out on market stalls, like you know, the big markets, like the Jacaranda Festival and Angelo Street Markets, to raise funds. Borderless Friendship. It's the Borderless Friendship Foundation,
right.
But we also, which is based in Thailand, but we also have Borderless Friendship WA, and the chairman of that is Dr. Laurel. So yeah, it's an organization based in Thailand, up in Changdao, and provides safe accommodation and education for the Hill Tribe children and their families. And it's really to prevent the children being coerced into the sex trade,
right.
And boys into drug running, you know. They get because it's right on the border with Burma and in Laos, and so there's a lot of cross-border you know, activity there.
Like possible drug trafficking.
That's right,
and things like that.
Yeah. So it was set up by Pramo and his wife Yadao, who are Hill Tribe people themselves.
Mm.
And we now have, I think, about 200 kids. Now, it's not an orphanage. So what we do is they come and live in the hostel, in the safe accommodation, where they can get food and be looked after and nurtured while they go to school, because they live in such remote villages that they're not always able to get to school.
Right. So
they come down to Changdao during the school term, and they go to school and they're looked after, but in the holidays they go back to their villages and live with their family.
Mm.
So we're not taking them away from their family.
Mm.
And the families are actually often come to ask, can their children come, because they can't afford to look after them.
Mm.
So they come down and they, as I say, they're accommodated, they get fed and they get educated. And at the moment, I think we've got about 30 of the kids going to Chiang Mai University.
Wow, that's
amazing.
No,
these are kids who would have had no chance of anything, of work or anything.
Mm.
Because the Hill Tribe people, they're not classed as Thai, so they don't have their Thai working permit. I don't know if you remember a couple of years back when those kids in the football team got stuck in the caves.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, they were Hill Tribe children.
Right.
And when they were
rescued,
the governments, they wanted to take them to another country to watch this big football match, to give them but they couldn't go because they didn't have a passport. Because they were virtually, sort of, they didn't have a country.
Well,
the Hill Tribe
Okay, so stateless almost.
That's right, they're virtually stateless. Mm. And so because there's no record of these children, this is why they can very easily be coerced into the sex trade and into drug running because there's no record of these children anywhere.
Right.
They've come from another, you know, over the borders, escaped continuous fighting or whatever. And so these children are stateless, and this is why we look after them.
Wow.
And they're just doing great, absolutely great, yeah.
How do you raise money for that? Oh, well, you mentioned a couple of the market stalls and things like that. And is there a donation page or something where people could...
Oh, they can go to Borderless Friendship WA website. They've got a great website.
Yeah.
But they also have a child sponsorship scheme.
Right.
And so you can actually sponsor children,
right?
Which I do have done for about 6 or 7 years,
yes.
And I actually go up to Changdao. I try to go up there about once a year because I love to see the kids,
yes.
And they know, you know, they'll tell them that their sponsor is going to see them, and they get all excited when you're there, and they just love to have you there.
Wonderful.
And they learn to speak their English, improve their English, because English is their third language. They have their tribal language, like Lahu and Karen and Shan. So they would have their tribal language first.
Mm.
The Thai language is second.
Yep.
And so English would be their third language. And so this is why they're at school learning, you know, all these different things. And they're just doing absolutely marvellous.
Yes, just, given the opportunity.
That's right, amazing, give kids the opportunity, yeah. Yes. So, they can... People can sponsor them.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. I'll put a link to that on the summary as well.
Yeah.
Not that we have huge numbers of listeners, but you know.
Still,
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's great.
I mean, I just love being in nature, you know.
Yes.
I don't have to deal with working in places like that, but I just would rather go for a walk in nature, is, you know, go out for a lunch or a dinner or whatever.
I'm not
that social. And I love my garden. I love being in the garden and getting my hands dirty. As you can see, I've got dirty nails at the minute. And I just love being in the garden and getting, you know, in just in touch with the earth. It's just...
So important, isn't it?
And absolutely.
It's something that I think if you... It's quite healing if you go into nature and you'll go for a walk, and it's
And I often have therapies myself, like at the clinic as well. If we have more practitioners than clients, then the practitioners will give each other Reiki.
Fantastic.
So that's great. You know, we get a free Reiki session.
Excellent.
And I also go to a friend who does Reiki, but she also does sound healing.
Yes.
With the Peter Hess sound healing bowls, which is just amazing.
Yes, they go, there's vibrations almost go through them, don't they?
And these are the bowls that she places on your body.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, as she hits them, the vibrations just go right through your body, and they're very, very beneficial. I just love doing that. I'm still open to receiving different therapies myself as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And I suppose music is a form of sound therapy, isn't it?
Well, it is. I have my music on all the time. And at one point, a while back, I actually learned to play the djembe, the African drum.
Oh,
so I have a djembe, and I'll occasionally get it out and have a bang on the drum.
Excellent. That sounds wonderful. I won't ask.
I'm not sure what the neighbours think about it, but...
Okay. Oh, well, thank you very much, Lizzie, for agreeing to be interviewed for this.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
I think it's really nice to make this sort of information... available to people. I think they're things you don't hear about unless you hear about them.
Yeah, that's right. I've always worked full time, so when I retired 3 years ago, there's no way that I could just sit around doing nothing.
No.
I had to be involved in something.
Yeah.
This is really what it was. Yeah.
Been great. Yeah.
Yeah,
often that's what it just takes a little bit of time to find the niche, and then you're off and running again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's so wonderful. Yeah. Oh, thanks very much.
Thanks to Lizzie for agreeing to take part in this podcast. And once again, thank you for listening.